In her roster of office artists, Judith Kempner found some interesting surprises.
Here's a factoid. William Faulkner, Anthony Trollope, and Charles Bukowski all worked in the post office. Bukowski, the Californian writer, even titled a novel Post Office. He got 45 books published while working his day job as a mailman. But top prize in the postal writer category has got to go to Anthony Trollope in 19th century Britain. He not only designed the red pillar mailboxes you see everywhere in England, but wrote magnificently subtle sagas about the working lives of politicians, bureaucrats, and clerics. One incident from his autobiography made it into his last novel.
"The letter has been taken," said the colonel, turning to me angrily.
Trollope, a postal clerk, is being accused of stealing an envelope of money.
"And by God, there has been nobody in this room but you and I."
Randy Williams, president of the Trollope Society of America, reads.
"As he spoke, he thundered his fist down upon the table. Then," said I, "by God, you have taken it." And I also thundered my fist down, but accidentally, not upon the table. There was a standing movable desk, at which I presume it was the colonel's habit to write, and on this movable desk was a large bottle full of ink. My fist, unfortunately, came on the desk, and the ink at once flew up, covering the colonel's face and shirt front. Then it was a sight to see that senior clerk, as he seized a quire of blotting paper and rushed to the aid of his superior officer, striving to mop up the ink, and a sight also to see the colonel, in his agony, hit right out through the blotting paper at that senior clerk's unoffending stomach.
Though frequently insubordinate and difficult to deal with, Anthony Trollope was never fired. He was too good at writing memos and organizing systems. So they sent him off to Ireland and beyond. A tip for writers with day jobs? Get yourself sidelined to a position where you have to cover a lot of territory. Wherever he was, Anthony Trollope always put in some hard hours before the office.
He had his man, his butler or his valet, bring him every day a cup of scalding hot black tea at 5:30 and force him to get up under penalty of being discharged. And he then wrote 3,000 words for 3 hours, regular as clockwork. He wrote wherever he went, by railway, by steamship, by horseback. And, well, by horseback he did not write, but certainly on boats and trains, he had a desk made so that he could write in transit.
Now, Franz Kafka held down a job at a workers' accident insurance institution. Wallace Stevens was also an insurance agent. Thomas Mann was a fire insurance company clerk. And composer Charles Ives, arguably the father of modern American music, was an insurance executive. Ives earned a colossal fortune and invented the concept of estate planning. Not surprising that on his commute home, the sounds of dusk would be on his mind as he settled down to compose. Here's his Central Park in the Dark. The world of business is more intrusive. It's harder to compartmentalize your music. Laura Cantrell is a country singer who for 11 years held down a job on Wall Street. She gave up the day job when her work beeped her as she was singing on Jay Leno. But she does give credit to her office in the city for helping her make her traditional country music.
Country music is often about basic things and or about, I think, most effective when it sort of works on an emotional level. You know, in the Wall Street working environment, there were a lot of people there trying to be successful, but there were also a lot of folks, especially as I worked there through a long, you know, a few cycles of, you know, what the market was doing. There were a lot of folks just trying to hang on to their jobs and be able to, you know, hang on to their livelihood. So I might not have been sitting behind my desk thinking, oh, this would make a great subject for a song, but it certainly didn't feel like a place that was detached from people's, you know, emotions.
Many of Cantrell's songs have a sense of irony, which came, she says, from an absurdist sense of her own situation, being an outsider from the Wall Street tribe.
Well, if it's true what they say, someone must pay. I'll bear my share of pain, but I won't take all the blame if it's all the same to you.
Another Another observer of Wall Street is writer Kate Jennings. She looks at the savage underbelly of executives in the investment banking world in her recent novel, Moral Hazard. Her characters are composites of her co-workers. As a woman and an Australian who'd always lived with artists, she had many counts against her. After being hazed, she decided not to judge, but to look at these characters seriously, not satirically, because their battles were the stuff of high drama.
This is a novel for adults. This is serious stuff with adults shouldering responsibilities. You know, I went in there as a left-winger and ho-hum. And I mean, who knew these guys in suits could be so interesting? Who knew about their emotional lives? And as a speechwriter and being around them, you saw it. You saw their jealousies, their hypocrisies, their ambitions, the things that they cared about.
I didn't care about office politics.
Harvey Picar, who wrote comic books all his life, also described the people he worked with. Only this was another section of society, not downtown Manhattan, but Cleveland. It's the world of a lonely filing clerk at a Veterans Administration office who lives in a seedy apartment. The graphic novel called American Splendor has the subtitle, Ordinary Life is Pretty Complex Stuff. And this cult book was made into a really popular movie in 2003.
I was a pretty low-level clerk, and even my supervisors were kind of low-level. These people are ignored by a lot of writers. Yet, they're the majority of people in the world. I don't know, maybe I just work with a group of all-stars, that's all. But the people I work with were pretty funny people.
In one story, when Harvey Picar is offered a $2.50 a week raise, he's so mad at his boss that he finds a plastic boomerang and throws it through a window and breaks it. It hits the Cleveland City Council president in the stomach. The official is universally disliked, and so Picard gets congratulated by his boss. That's a story probably based in fact. The oddball details are too specific. You can only have written it if you'd worked in that kind of office. For Studio 360, I'm Judith Kampfner.